Amen. Thank you for that, ladies. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd invite you to take them and let's go to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 37 is where we'll be this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 37. And I agree with that song. We don't need less church in 2016. In reality, we need more of it. And certainly is what keeps us going in the difficult days in which we're living. We joked a moment ago about the spirit and attitude in the Philippines, and that is that they did tell me that. That's not a joke. They said if you haven't preached an hour, you haven't preached. One of the reasons why that's the way they approach church is because it's such a great effort for them just to get there. And many of them do not own a vehicle, have never driven a vehicle. And many of them travel, maybe walk an hour, hour and a half just to get to church. And so they're not in favor of just getting there and hearing a challenge, just a brief challenge from God's word. They want to hear a message. They want to hear a sermon because it's taken some great effort to get there. And I certainly am always stirred by various parts of the world and the Christianity that exists there. And sometimes it puts my Christianity to shame. And so thank you for being in church this morning. And let's just settle in and ask God to do a great work in our hearts and our lives. If you found your place in Ezekiel chapter number 37, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. And we will read the passage of Scripture before us that we'll take as our text. We'll pray and then you may be seated. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Ezekiel 37, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." And I want to preach to you this morning from verse number 3, but really through verse number 14 of this passage of Scripture. The title of the message this morning is this: Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Would you bow your heads with me and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of the Word of God and the message this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our church. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before this great group of godly men and women. Perhaps for others that maybe here are sincere, but they don't know the Lord at this point in time. Lord, it becomes my responsibility to preach the Word of God to each and every one. The various stages of life, wherever they may be. Various ages, various stages, various spiritual realms. We pray that you take the Word of God that's preached. May you apply it. The Holy Spirit, may you apply it to each and every individual this morning in your own way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A distinguished painter was conducting a class for aspiring artists many years ago. He was speaking on the subject of artistic composition. And he emphasized that it was wrong for an artist to portray a woodland, a forest, or a wilderness without painting into it a path out of the trees. When a true artist draws any kind of picture, say a landscape for instance, he always gives the picture an out. Otherwise, the tangle of trees and the trackless spaces depress and dismay the onlooker of that particular painted piece. So we come to Ezekiel chapter number 37. The prophet Ezekiel, along with many of the other Jews, sat in bondage in the country of Babylon. And no doubt, he, along with the rest of the people that were there with him as captives, were wondering how God was going to get them out. As far as they were concerned, they looked at the canvas of their history and the canvas of their lives, and they couldn't see the artist who certainly is God, who's the artist of all of our lives. They couldn't see that perhaps there was a way out. They couldn't see the fact that there might be hope for them. And as a result of that, the spirits were quite low of the people, and discouragement and frustration ran rampant amongst the people. In fact, it was during this time period in which the psalmist wrote in Psalm 137, verse number 1, he said, "It was by the rivers of Babylon that we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion." A few verses later, verse number 4, the Bible says that the people of Babylon asked them to sing, the Jews, to sing the Lord's song. And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And the hope had fled from their hearts and from their lives. There was no more joy. There was nothing but discouragement and frustration and depression amongst the people of God. Sadly, many times, man, ourselves, we don't realize just how good God has been, or we fail to thank God for how good He's been until that which we've enjoyed has been taken away from us. We often use this term, we'll say something like, don't take that for granted. And I'm afraid that there are many of us that have lived our lives taking the blessings of God for granted. And then you get to a point where perhaps those blessings are gone. It's my distinct privilege just about every week on Fridays to go and to visit the hospitals where our church people are. You say, you consider that a distinct privilege? It absolutely is. Because every time I entered the halls of those hospitals, I'm reminded of how good I have it. I'm reminded of the fact that my two legs carry me where I want to go, and my two hands handle and feel what I want to feel, and I have eyesight that takes me and allows me to see things, and I have a brain that enables me to be able to function, and I suppose maybe for some you would look at me and say, well, that's debatable, but nevertheless, I am a blessed man, and I thank God for it. But it's the moments in which those things are gone, in which we're reminded of just how good we had it previously. And I think to myself, as Ezekiel sat by the river Chebar, the rivers of Babylon there, and as he looked around and he saw the frustration and the discouragement amongst his people, listen, not just his people, but God's people, as he looked and he saw it, he thought to himself, is there an out? Will we never get out of this place? Are we going to live in bondage for the rest of our days? It's at this point in time that God takes Ezekiel and elevates him to a position of not just being a priest. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter number 1 that he was a priest. But God allows him to function in the role of a prophet as well. God takes him and God allows him to see some things that the rest of man was not able to see. He was shown some visions, one of them in which we'll focus on today, this vision here of the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel's name means God will strengthen. As we said a moment ago, he was a priest when he was carried out of Judah with King Jehoiachin in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He had to rely upon the strength of God because life certainly was not easy in captivity. In captivity, the Bible tells us that his wife died suddenly, and God ordered him not to mourn her loss as a sign to the other captives. You can read about that in Ezekiel 24, verses 16 through 18. And the Bible tells us that he received the command, and his wife died, and he said, God said, don't mourn for her loss. And he said he got up the next day, and he did as God told him to do. Life was not always easy for Ezekiel. I think there's a sense in which sometimes people look at those that have the joy of the Lord and those that are God's messengers and the man of God perhaps. And you look at him and you say, well, you know, of course everything's great for you. You're the pastor. You're the missionary. You're the evangelist. You're the church staff member. Everything has to be great. You always have a smile on your face. I want you to understand something. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many times those that have sold their lives out to the cause of Christ, many times those people have more challenges to deal with than anyone would ever know. In Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw him there on his throne, and God said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And the Bible says that Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And God said to Isaiah, now hold on a minute. I'm thankful for your submissive spirit and your willingness to follow me and to serve me. But I want you to know something, Isaiah. Your ministry is going to be a very difficult one. No one's going to listen. No one's going to pay attention. You're going to be the voice of one just crying in the wilderness. And Isaiah said, Lord, how long? Essentially, God's answer to him was, Isaiah, as long as you'll be in ministry, that will be the situation and the circumstances. Life and a surrendered life to God is not always easy, but it certainly is the best life that you and I could possibly live. And Ezekiel faithfully completed the assignment given to him in spite of its intense difficulty. But while the captivity was hard and life was sometimes disappointing, it was during his time in captivity that God elevated him from being just a priest to being a prophet. It was during this time that God showed him things that others were not privy to seeing. It was this time in which God began to show him on the canvas of his life and the lives of all of his Jewish brethren the out that they were all longing for. He did this here in chapter number 37 through an unusual vision that to me is one of the most unusual and unique passages in all of the Bible. And I want us to examine it together today. We find here in the early part of this chapter that Ezekiel is carried by the hand of the Lord into this valley, and he was able to overlook this valley. And when he got there, the Bible says that he moved all around this valley, saw it from every angle. As far as the eye could see, he saw nothing but bones. Human skeletal bones there in this valley. And it taught him something. It showed him something that we're going to examine today. And the question is asked by God to Ezekiel in this passage. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I want to ask that same question to you here this morning. Number one, I want you to consider from this passage of Scripture, there is always an out as long as the God of heaven is involved. There's always an out as long as the God of heaven is involved. I want you to notice, first of all, the Valley of Dry Bones presented a great challenge. We said just a moment ago that Ezekiel was carried by the Spirit of the Lord, and he was set in the midst of this valley full of bones. And no doubt what he saw brought even greater despair. I can just imagine he's thinking to himself, Lord, you've carried me by your hand. I know that this vision is coming from you. And I'd anticipated that I was going to see something that was encouraging and something that was going to strengthen my heart. And yet we've arrived at this place and all I see are just bones everywhere. What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose of this? This doesn't bring joy to my heart. This doesn't bring hope. In fact, this brings greater despair. Instead of life, he saw death. Instead of organization, he saw confusion. Listen, instead of hope, he saw despair. And there's some debate over which valley this happened to be and whose bones these were. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us, but many believe that these were Jews who had either been slain by Nebuchadnezzar during the captivity, or perhaps these bones belonged to the children of Ephraim who were slain by the men of Gath. The Bible tells us about that in 1 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 20. But I have to think that as Ezekiel maneuvered around this valley and he saw these bones, he was overwhelmed with the thought that these are my countrymen. These are my people. This is my heritage. I'm of this group of people. And if things don't change in our lives, I'm going to join them in the same valley someday. Can you imagine the sight of so many of his own countrymen who had been slaughtered? Surely brought more questions than answers and more discouragement than encouragement into the life of Ezekiel. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever asked God to meet a certain need, a specific need, and instead he answers the prayer a whole lot differently than you had anticipated or that you had hoped for? Instead of God getting you out of a financial situation, it seems as though things got worse. Instead of God healing you from sickness and disease, perhaps, maybe things got a little bit worse. Instead of God bringing back your wayward child to the Lord, and instead of that, and you find he's been even more rebellious, and he's wandered even further away from God. Sometimes the challenges of our lives provide unique and special challenges, and they call us to cry out to God in an even greater way. And so we see here this valley full of dry bones presented a great, great challenge. But I want you to notice, secondly, the faith of Ezekiel led him to believe that God could make these bones live again. Would you notice verse number 3? The question is asked, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. A question is posed from God to Ezekiel. Can these bones live again? The simple logical answer is an emphatic no. Absolutely not. These bones perhaps have been sitting in this valley for years. At one time they had flesh and they had cartilage and they had muscles. But the carrion and the vultures have feasted upon these bones. And now they've moved on to another area because there's no meat left. These bones are dry, and anyone with a brain, anyone that has any common sense about them at all, would look at this valley full of bones and would say, absolutely, these bones cannot live again. However, while Ezekiel has a brain and common sense, listen, he also has a heart. He also has something known in the Bible as faith. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. And as Ezekiel looks at this valley full of dry bones, he says, there's absolutely no way that these bones can live again. But there's a God in heaven
And rather than coming out and emphatically stating, no, these bones cannot live again, Ezekiel gives a little bit more of a cautious answer. He says to the God of heaven, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, he's not ready completely to say, these bones will never live again. These bones will never walk again. These bones will never talk again. These bones will never stir again. He's not ready to say that because he's a man of faith. And long before the scriptures were penned in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 27, and long before Jesus ever made his entrance into this earth, and he stated this, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Long before those words were ever even out of the mouth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there were men and women in the Old Testament who had a faith that said, with man, yes, there's no way that these bones can live again, but with God, nothing is impossible. And I say to you that are here this morning, you look at your life and you look at the challenges and the difficulties and you ask yourself, will this ever be right again? Will my marriage ever be like it was before? Will my children ever come back to the Lord? Will my health ever return? Will this nation ever see a revival again? Will we ever elect a godly leader who will lead us and embrace biblical values and embrace the Constitution? Can these things happen? Can these bones live again? And I remind you that as long as God is seated on the throne, these bones can live again. Your marriage can be resurrected. Your child can come back. Your health can be restored. Your finances can be restored. God can do some amazing things in your heart and in your life as long as He's still seated on the throne. These bones can live again. Ezekiel looks at this valley. And the answer, the simple answer is no. The things are dire, impossible even. But he understands that when God's involved, there's always an out. And you may not see it. And I may not see it. Your family may not be able to see how you're ever going to get out of this mess. Perhaps maybe a family member is an alcoholic. They're drowning their life away in booze. Perhaps a family member is a drug addict. If they don't stop, they're headed for some serious, serious problems. Perhaps your husband is away from the Lord. He's messing around with some things he ought not to be messing around with. Perhaps your child is away from God and they're rebellious to you and no longer want to see you, no longer want to be around you. You look at your life and God asks the question, sir, man, can these bones live again? And we want to throw in the towel and we want to walk away and say, God, it'll never happen. My life will never be restored. I'll never enjoy the things that I once enjoyed. But may I remind you to develop the attitude of Ezekiel, who looked at this valley of dry bones and said, there is no way that these bones can live again. But God, only you know. And if you want these bones to live again, they certainly shall. Notice number two. We considered, first of all, that there's always an out as long as God is involved in the process. But notice number two, obedience to God can produce amazing results. Would you notice with me in Ezekiel chapter number 37, we read a little bit further, verse number 4. It says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Notice, number one, that what God asked Ezekiel to do was extremely unusual. Can you imagine? Ezekiel's taken to this valley, and he's allowed to look over this valley, and he sees nothing but death and destruction everywhere he looks. These bones have lain there for so long in the hot Middle Eastern sun that they're now completely dried. It's perhaps been years since these bones had life and flesh and blood coursing through them. God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, I don't know, Lord. Only you know. I want to say no. I certainly think that they can't, but this is in your hands. This is your call, and only you know. And God says, okay, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to begin to prophesy into these bones. I want you to begin to talk to them, to speak to them. And I just got to imagine Ezekiel thought to himself, what? Huh? And I guarantee you that Ezekiel thought to himself, Lord, I am so glad that I'm in a place where there's not a whole lot of people around. I can't imagine there are a whole lot of people spending a lot of time around the Valley of Dry Bones. Because Ezekiel's getting ready, listen, Ezekiel's getting ready to lift up his voice and shout to a bunch of dead carcasses. To a bunch of dry bones, he's going to start preaching a message. Now, isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard in your life? I mean, isn't that the most unusual thing that you've ever seen before? Now, I know that there's a little joke that goes around about people talking to themselves. But you know, the bottom line is we all talk to ourselves. You know that, right? Some of you are talking to yourselves right now. About me. This guy's nuts. When's this guy ever going to shut up, you know? And look, we all do it. Now, I would advise you, perhaps, if you're going to carry on a conversation with yourself, maybe not be so vocal about it. You know, maybe not open up your actual mouth, but let that conversation go on inside of your head. But have you ever been tempted to talk to something that wasn't real? I mean, have you ever gone out to your car and first thing in the morning and you sat down in the seat and you stuck the key in the ignition, you turned the thing and it just wouldn't turn over? And you turn it again and it won't turn over and you're already late for work as it is and you got your coffee cup there and maybe a Pop-Tart in your hand and you're thinking to yourself, what in the world? And you know what we all do, all of us men, we start banging on things. When I was a kid, that was the way you fixed the television. Literally, I had a grandfather who, when the television, and this is in the days before cable and before satellite and all of these things, and the television would start to mess up. There'd be little lines on the screen. My grandfather would get up from his seat and he'd say, no problem, boys. He'd walk up to the thing and he'd slap it like that. And all of a sudden, it was made right. You ever talked to something that wasn't real? Have you done something crazy like that to get something to work right? We hit our steering wheel of our car and we slap the television because it's not working right. And you grab the hammer and you start pounding on something. You hit your finger and instead of being mad at yourself, you're mad at the hammer. And you throw it, we look at things like that in situations like that. And we think, what is wrong with us as people? Can you imagine if you would have walked by that Valley of Dry Bones that day and there stood this prophet all by himself and he's talking to a bunch of dry bones? Now, it's not unusual for me to stand in front of all of you. In fact, this is a thrill for me to stand in front of all of you people and preach the Word of God. But can you imagine if you walked in the back of the auditorium and this place was completely empty and I'm up here standing like this and I'm talking and I'm getting with it and I'm preaching the Word of God and I'm getting emphatic about it and there's not a soul to be found in the whole building? You'd probably want to come and take me somewhere. Because that ain't right. Something's wrong. And yet God asked Ezekiel to do something extremely unusual. Let me ask this question. Has God ever asked you to do something unusual? You realize the Christian life in and of itself is an unusual life, don't you? You do understand the Christian life runs contrary to everything that you and I know to be is true. When Jesus was here on this earth, he said, look, if you want to lead, I'll tell you how to lead. Start serving. He said, if you want the uppermost seat at the banquet hall, he said, when you get there, sit in the lowest seat. Eventually somebody might spot you and they might move you a little bit higher. You want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you just become like a little child. You want me to bless you? Then you just start giving things away instead of hoarding things and keeping things. Then you'll see me do some unusual things. I want you to understand something. The Christian life is not normal. It's different. It runs countercultural to everything that we know and understand to be as true. But listen, is your faith in the Word of God or is your faith in what you know to be as true? Is my faith in the Bible and what God happens to say when the world dismisses something and writes something off and says it can't be done? We as believers, we look at it and say, as long as God's still on the throne, it can be done. As long as God's still in heaven, as long as I'm still on here on this earth, God has a plan for my life. And God wants to use me and God wants to do some unusual things in my life. Listen, if you and I are going to be obedient to God, we have to do some things that the world views as backwards, perhaps strange and unusual. Ezekiel stood and just see him on the precipice of this valley. And he looks out over all of these bones and he's heard from God. I want you to prophesy to these bones. And Ezekiel looks around, makes sure no one else is within earshot. Listen, begins to lift his voice. And he begins to speak to these bones. Notice, the obedience of Ezekiel enabled God to do the impossible. Notice verse number 7. So, I prophesy. You know, I'm afraid many of us, if we were writing this passage of Scripture, if we were Ezekiel, we would have had it written, so I turned around and I walked away. So I never did what God asked me to do. How many times has God asked you to do something that you haven't wanted to do or that you didn't think made sense, and instead of doing it, you turned around and you walked away? You missed out on some amazing things taking place as God used you in an unusual way. Not Ezekiel. The Bible says, verse number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. A moment ago, Ezekiel's asked to speak to the bones. Now he's supposed to speak to the air. That's kind of crazy too. But notice, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Notice verse number 10 again. Obedience. So I prophesied as he commanded. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I can just imagine Ezekiel standing there. Just a few moments ago, this valley was full of just destruction and death and devastation. But he obeys God. And now all of a sudden he's looking. He sees no longer just dry bones. He sees an army of men that are living, that are breathing, that are ready to go forward and to fight. God does the impossible in this valley of dry bones. I'm afraid perhaps there are some in this auditorium and you're just about ready to give up. You're just about ready to quit. You're just about ready to walk away because you can't see and out. You can't figure out how God's going to solve this problem or make this thing better. And so rather than stick around, rather than perhaps maybe do some unusual things that God sometimes asks us to do to get out of the messes that we're in, instead you're going to throw in the towel and walk away. And you might just be moments away from God resurrecting the issue in your life that you've prayed so long about. Obedience, listen, obedience to God can produce amazing results. Imagine for a moment if Ezekiel would not have complied. Imagine if he would have told God that what he was asking was too strange and bizarre to be obeyed. He'd have missed out on this great miraculous event. And these dry bones reassembling as one and forming a great army. And he would miss out on the great unveiling of God's promise of deliverance for his people. Listen, just remember the next time you're tempted to question whether or not you should obey God and do that which is unusual or strange or goes against the culture and the grain of the way people think, that you might be placing yourself in a position to miss out on a miracle, miraculous manifestation of his power and ability. Listen, he sometimes asks us to do some unusual things by faith. And if we'll be obedient, God can make some impossible things possible. Several years ago, my wife and I were purchasing a home. As we sat down with our loan officer and we were finalizing things and closing, we were signing all of those papers. And he had gone over our finances and he looked at us and he said, you know, he said, you people give a lot of money to the church. I said, sir, we just tithe. That's all we do, you know, and we're just trying to be obedient to the Lord. And he was blown away that we as a family with young children trying to purchase a home, that we would be willing to give that much to the church. And perhaps maybe in comparison to others, it's not a lot, but to him it was. Someone who perhaps maybe gives nothing to the church. And he looked at us kind of like this, you know, I can't even believe you're able to buy a house such as this, and it's not a fantastic or spectacular house in any way. But he looked at us like, I just can't believe this. You know what I'm trying to tell you is that many times the world will look at the way that we live our lives and they'll be flabbergasted. They'll be blown away. How in the world does this all work out? Because it just doesn't make sense. And you know what I remind you? It may not always make sense. But since when has a life lived by faith ever made sense to begin with? If you and I are going to live by faith, there are going to have to be times in which we step out and we do something that we don't even understand ourselves how it's all going to work out. But we are trusting the Lord and we're believing that God is going to be able to do that which we cannot do in and of ourselves. And may God help us to be an obedient people. Number three, I'm almost done. Can I say this? Discouragement is a common problem even among God's people. Notice verse number 11. Ezekiel 37:11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. And can I say this, that discouragement comes when we have a world-focused view. In other words, their focus was on bondage and captivity, as you and I might well imagine. As perhaps you and I, our focus would be on those things if we were in that same situation. And I think in some ways they had forgotten the fact that they were still God's people. That there was still a God in heaven who, even though they were in this mess, by the way, a mess of their own making, how many times had God told them, hey, no other gods before thee, no graven images. And yet, every time we see this cycle of falling into that sin, of bondage and of repentance, and God delivering them, and then a falling back into that sin, and then a bondage and a repentance, and then God delivering them over and over and over again. That's the history of God's people in the Old Testament. And so as they sat there, they had no one to blame but themselves. But because they had a world-focused view, and they were looking at their taskmasters, and they were looking at their chains, and they were looking at the bad things in their life, as a result of that, the Bible says that they viewed themselves as having bones that were dried, that their hope was lost, and they were cut off for our parts. Have you ever met someone who had lost all hope? It's a terrible place to be. It's a place God doesn't want any of us to be, and yet sometimes even amongst His own people, discouragement comes. Can I say that encouragement or hope, secondly, is renewed when we focus instead on His Word? Notice verse number 12. The Bible says this. We're almost done. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. In other words, just as these bones receive flesh and sinew and strength, and just as they receive breath in them, God said, I'm going to resurrect you, even though you feel like you're dead and you feel like you're never going to come out of this bondage. I'm going to bring you all back into the land of Israel at some point in the future. That's the meaning of this prophecy. Verse number 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. In other words, encouragement or hope is renewed when we hear from God. We understand, look, I've read the back of this book, and I know what's going to happen at the end. And things are difficult. And things are hard. But I know how it all finishes. And I finish as a winner, not because of me and who I am, but because of Christ. And because I place my faith and trust in Him. A few weeks ago, our pastor was preaching out of Genesis chapter number 15. He's dealing with Abraham, of course, and Abraham's question regarding this promise. Remember, he preached the message, the sureness of God's promise. Let's just take our Bibles there very quickly. I want you to see it as we finish. Genesis chapter number 15. I want you to see this and then we'll be done. Look in verse number 2. It says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. But notice verse number 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Notice verse number 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. You know what the emphasis is? The emphasis is, Abraham, quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at your wife. Quit looking at the fact that you're at this point have no children and no seed. Instead, start looking up. God's message to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, quit looking around at all of the depression, all of the despair, and all of this discouragement, and start looking up.
And understand that as long as I'm in heaven, these bones can live. That which you say is impossible, I can make possible. It's a matter of perspective. I ask you the question as we finish, can these bones live again? Your answer probably will depend on where you're looking. If you're looking at your problems and your issues and the things that are wrong in your life, you're probably going to answer very emphatically, no. No, these bones can't live again. It's been like this for years. I've prayed and I've tried. I've done all that I can do. No, these bones can't live again. But if you know the God of heaven, if you start looking up, you'll find your answer begins to change. And you'll say like Ezekiel, oh Lord, as far as I'm concerned, no, nothing's happened. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. But Lord, I still believe you. I still have faith in you. If you want these bones to live again, they can do so. Can these bones live? Well, that's a question I guess God's all asking us today. He's asking each and every one of us. Can our problems, can they get better? Can we see revival again? Can our loved ones be saved before it's eternally too late? Can we be healed? If God wants us to be, we can. It's in His hands. Oh, Lord God, Thou knowest. It's a matter of faith. As the Bible teaches us, without faith, it is impossible.